Hello, listeners, and welcome to the AfriWorld platform, where we look to celebrate African history, people, and culture by telling our story. Now, as you well know, here at AfriWetu, we look not just at the civilizations, but also the legends of our people, especially as it relates to how we link to them and their impact on us today. So, you know, that means that today is a Legends episode, which also means it's a guest narrator show. And I am so pleased to have with me a fellow podcaster and a lover of all things African, Mr. Teju. Welcome, Teju.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me. It's a great opportunity.
Anytime. Now, before I actually hand over to you, I want to let the AfriWatu know a little bit more about you, okay? So, he's already started laughing. Teju is a man of style. I just feel like I should start there because anybody who knows him will say the exact same thing. He is a podcaster, as I've already said, and we shall talk a little bit more about that later. I call him an African historian because his curiosity for our continent and people and culture is mind-blowing, especially in the facts that he finds and weaves into these really good bite-sized information podcasts that honestly is just packed with so many punches. He is an author, and truly his book is a must-have in everybody's shelves. Everyone who is serious about learning for real, especially about Africa. And again, we shall hear more about that later. He's actually a doctor by trade. And I know I've put that at the bottom of the list, which is very, very untypical. But to me, mostly, he's a really good friend. We share not just lots of laughs, but also a very deep love of our history and culture with a very clear determination to ensure that we own our own narratives. Hi, Teju. Would you like to say a quick hello again after that? I love doing that bit because, you know, nobody ever knows what I'm going to say.
I can see. I'm actually, I was asking myself if it's about me that you're talking about. So.
Well, we
thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. It's really appreciated.
Oh,
good
welcome.
Morning, everyone. Good morning to your listeners. I need to say that I'm one of the listeners. So one of the very faithful listeners, and I will tell you later at the end of this episode when the emotion that invaded the big room where I met you the first time.
Oh,
the emotion is here. It's so good.
I can't believe you're going to bring that up, but okay.
Yes, I have to.
You have to. So we're going to talk about a legend. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a very quick overview of the legend that you're going to speak about, and then I'm going to hand it over to you, which I'm so excited about. So our legend is from the Yoruba people, and I wanted to share a few interesting facts about these wonderful sisters and brothers from the west of our continent. So the Yoruba are from West Africa, and they mainly inhabit parts of Nigeria, Benin, Togo, and this kind of constitutes what's Yoruba land. They're one of the largest groups in Africa. It has over, listen to this, 40 million speakers today. So in addition to what is considered like Yoruba land, their presence is also felt in Ghana, Ivory Coast, Niger, Burkina Faso, Equatorial Guinea, and even across to Brazil. They are very skilled and very creative, and they work at trades such as blacksmithing, leatherworking, carvings, glassmaking. In terms of their culture, there's a really cool thing, which is actually replicated alongside many other African cultures, is that naming your child is such an integral part in terms of what that child is going to represent and who they're going to be later on in life. And Yoruba culture, actually, you name your children way after their birth, and usually a week. And it's believed that in the culture that any name one bears can influence their entire life. The first Yoruba actually to receive a Nobel laureate, who is also the first Nigerian, is Professor Wole Soyinka, who specializes in rich usage of Yoruba literature. You then have classic musical legends like Fela Kuti, King Sunny Ade, Lagbaja, Ayinde Barrister. Then in contemporary world, well, it's contemporary when this goes out, you have Wizkid, Olamide, Davido, and Tiwa Savage, who've lit up the international scene. The Yoruba, just like our Teju, are very particular about their fashion. The women's gele and the men's agbada are globally known. Like if you just Google Nigerian fashion, what will come up usually more often than not is Yoruba fashion. And a shout out to buzznigeria.com, because that's where I picked up a lot of this information. And with that, I'm going to now hand it over to you, Teju, to tell us about our legend and tell us the story.
Yeah, so the legend today is Oduduwa. I'm trying to use as much as possible the Yoruba accent mixed with the English text, so forgive me if there is any sort of confusion in how you condense some of your words. So the legend is Oduduwa. What is in a name? Well, with our legend today, Samuel Johnson gives his explanation of the word Oduduwa. He said it came from the Yoruba phrase Odu Tiodaiwa, which denoted greatness and strength, where Odu is a description of something big or a large container, and Tiodaiwa referred to anything that was large and strong. This makes sense in the context of Oduduwa was the author and source of existence and creation. In summary, sometimes it is termed the great repository which brings forth existence. Another Yoruba historian, Olumide Lucas, took the name from a different angle, went to derive the meaning as the black one, translation of Oduduwa as a great person, and in the fact that when broken down, the words Dudu means black, he used a linkage to Egypt to get this translation. It's worth noting that there are those who say the origin of Oduduwa being the East, as far off as ancient Egypt and even Mecca. In support of this line of thought, the one about the black one, Yoruba people had an ideology that celebrated black skin as beautiful. So associating Oduduwa as such was a high praise. It is also known that today, the name Oduduwa is linked to the hero, the warrior, the leader, the father of Yoruba people. So let's start with the origin story. The Yoruba myth tells us about Olorun, Olodumare, the god of the sky who created the universe. He then sent Obatala, god of white gloves, down to earth, which at that time was no more than a mass of water. He had been sent to lead the Oye. Oye is the immortal beings. It's also considered as subordinate. So he sent the Oye as they brought specially selected items to earth. These items would then be used to create land masses. Each Oye carried a cockerel, 5 pieces of iron, a palm kernel, and a white piece of cloth that contained soil. The purpose for each was simple. The iron was to be placed on the earth, and the soil was to be poured out onto the earth's surface. Together, they then formed the landmass, Cochrane's job was then to help spread the soil across the earth. The palm kernel was to be planted and sprout into 16 branches representing the 16 Yoruba kingdoms. However, en route, Obatala got waylaid by palm wine. He found the other gods enjoying themselves, feasting and celebrating, Obatala going into the party to his detriment. He partied so much with them for days and nights and then became drunk and sleepy. He did just that, he slept. It is here that his fellow demigod Odudua stories began. He found Obatala in his state, drunken sleep. He then took the materials, picked up the mantle, and led the Oye to fulfill the task. They landed at Ife, and herein the creation story started. It is worth noting that the story of Obatala and Odudua differs depending on whom you speak to in the region. So, although in this version, we have followed more or less the generic line, we do have a version that say that Odudua was not a subordinate to Oloru. And in fact, they were equals. There is a version that spoke of Oloru giving Odudua the items to bring with him directly. No mention of Obatala in this. And there is yet another version that says that Obatala never got drunk and that this part of the story is created to put him in a bad light. It is especially rejected by those who identify as Obatala's followers. We would love to hear those views. So, the origin story of the Ife Kingdom. When it came to Ife, there is an additional version that speaks of Oloru laying down a long chain from heaven, and then when it touched down on earth, it landed on Ife, making it the center, not just of earth, but the center of the universe. And I'll come back to that one. It is said that all creatures and humans and life started here and then spread out. Thus, Ife was seen as sacred. But back to the continuation of the origin story. Odudua went then on landing at Ife, started the process of creation. Odudua poured the soil that created the landmass. The cockerel scratched at the soil, scattering it across the earth. The valleys and mountains were formed by the bird's talons digging into the land. The palm nuts was planted and it sprouted the tree of life. Then here in Ife, the first human was molded from clay, and from here, all things stemmed and were dispersed. Hence the translation of a city being the place of dispersion. The stage having been set, the rest of the 16 orishas, said to be children of Odudua or Oloru, then descended and founded their own kingdoms. The more grounded version of Odudua is that he was flesh and blood. He was a great warrior hailing from the east of the continent. He had come and made Ife his home after conquering the land. He then became the founder of the Yoruba and the first Oni of Ife, the supreme ruler. It is from here that Odudua's 16 sons went out and founded the larger ancient Yoruba kingdoms, including the mighty Oyo Empire, Benin Empire. There is an interesting aspect of Odudua's story, that of Yoruba origins being from the east. There are opposing views as to how far east. Claims range from modern-day Benin to further afield like Ethiopia, Egypt, or South Sudan, and some even further east than from the Middle East. A theory put forward is that Odudua's father, Lamurudu, was a prince from the east. Which east? We are not sure. Following threat to his people, he migrated, but on the dangerous journey, he did not make it, and Oduduwa took the lead. Another version is that Oduduwa himself was the protagonist in the migration to Ife, that he was a warrior from Okiora, which was in the east of the region. He came to Ife and conquered the people and took over control of the existing 13 principalities with their own political setup and Oba. In charge was Obatala, who Oduduwa eventually deposed. Oduduwa was said to be a leader whose region saw a prosperous season for Ife. His policies boosted the economy, turning Ife into a formidable power in the region. In addition, it was under his rule that Ife's role as the religious and cultural center of the Yoruba people and descendant civilization started. Oduduwa, when he first landed, overcame the strong resistance found on the ground, led by, in some version, Obatala. Once he was victorious, he set about forging strong political and military alliances with the powers in the region. One of the most effective was through intermarriage, always a winner then and now. He ruled in relative peace and with great authority and reverence according to him. The mortal Oduduwa was said to have been killed by three opponents, including Obatala. What's Oduduwa's legacy? Oduduwa's legacy is epic in its reach and impact on West Africa. He is revered both as a man and a deity for the Yoruba people of the region and touches other groups as well. His descendants were spread out across the land, who then went on as the founders of some of the most prominent and influential Yoruba empires and kingdoms, including Benin Empire, Oyo Empire, Owu Kingdom, Ketu, and Sabe. It is from Ife that his kin went on to rule and was considered the center of Yoruba civilization, politics, and religions for years, until today some remnants of that remain. The descendants of Oduduwa's kin would for decades still make a pilgrimage back home, seen especially when there was a change in leadership, either in Ife itself or in the descendant's own polities. They would go back to get spiritual blessings, be officially crowned with an Ade beaded crown, and then get royal artifacts that indicated they have been approved. They also then pledged their loyalty and protection to the sacred city and the Far Oracle within. Now I'm going to conclude with two quick facts. This was not in the script. Did you know the most listened, downloaded, or streamed song in 2021 during COVID-19 pandemic in the world? I said in the world, but not in Africa. From the US to Japan, Australia, Paris, even sampled more than 300 times in Germany. That song is called Love Nwantiti by Nigerian writer and singer CK. It was a massive triumph on TikTok. My baby, my Valentine. Can I hit the making with temperature? If you leave me a good time. So this tells you that in the middle of a pandemic, when people needed to go back to the basics, find the most essential inner peace, they went without knowing across the world to Lagos, Nigeria. Lagos is 215 kilometers exactly away from Ife, and Lagos will be the most populated city in the world in less than 15 years. So if after that solid and scientific and impartial demonstration, you still have any doubt that Ife is the center of the universe, the place where it all started, then you need to call me and explain that to me directly and in Yoruba, please. Thank you. That was a surprise.
Thank you, Teju. Yeah, that was a real surprise. Thank you. And I liked how you linked it back to the origin and the center of the universe being Ife. Thank you.
I thought I was in my own podcast. So.
And we're coming to that because, yeah, that, what you did there is something you do in your podcast. But before we get there, first of all, thank you so much. And secondly, what was your favorite part about this legend?
Yeah, my favorite part was the part where I actually smiled or laughed myself when I was reading it, because you know where I said the part where it talks about the cockerel,
yes,
and the legend of how it came down, and
yes,
it's a part that I know that when I say that story to some people, African people mostly, they can't stop laughing because they think it's kind of so unrealistic. Like, what is that? But if you think about it, things happen in ancient Greek history, ancient Rome history.
Yeah.
Like, think about the Pandora box story. I mean, who would believe that in a normal world? Like,
yes, you know,
the Pandora box story. I mean, we believe the story. We find it cute. Can you imagine how many people read the Pandora box story and they're like, I mean, they don't even tell us that the Pandora box was actually a basket. It was not a box.
It was a basket.
And then, then you go through, and we accept what they say about Greek history. And when you talk about this Yoruba legend, people find it unrealistic and they laugh. And the other reason why I like it was the cockerel, because I discovered the importance of the cockerel when I was still young.
Yes.
When my dad told me this story about, you know, about Oduduwa and the myth around the Yoruba people.
Yes.
And therefore I explained that cockerel was not something to eat. That was a problem for me. because for a few years in my life, I could not eat cockerel because of this story. Can you imagine how difficult it is for a child not to be able to eat that thing? So every time you give me cockerel now, you need to understand how much I'm enjoying it, okay?
Yes. Actually, which leads me to what I didn't do when I started is tell people your heritage so that they understand why when I was scripting and doing the research for this story, I actually had you in mind to read it. To actually do this episode. So do you want to briefly tell them
where you're from? So my great grandfather was actually born in current day Nigeria, modern day Nigeria. But it used to be the massive Yoruba Empire.
Yes.
That went from Togo to Benin to current day to modern day Nigeria and then Ghana. So he was born in Nigeria, in the northern part of Nigeria. Then he migrated because of some of the colonial war, the initial colonial wars, when the British and the French were fighting over the continent. And he migrated to a different place, which became Benin today. He migrated to the northern of Benin, then he migrated down further. He went south, until he touched the Atlantic Ocean. And yes, that is because he was an artisan, and his job was, he needed to be close to the water because he was an artisan. He used to use, you know, the one who built those nests that they use in the fishing nets.
Yes.
So yes, he had to be closer to the water. So in the northern of Benin, there's no water. So he went down he migrated as far as he could to find the sea. And yes, he settled close to the sea in the southern part of Benin. Mm-hmm. And then that's where my grandfather was born, then my father was born, and then et cetera. So I think that's important for me. This story was important for me because it actually took me back to those days when I was still a child and couldn't make sense of all that story because, as you know, the only thing that was important at the time was what we were taught by Western story, Western history. So I didn't really take it seriously, but it was there. And, you know, the psychologists call it the primitive sin. It's like those things that you are told when you're a child and they stay in your mind until one day you started making sense of them and you feel like this is something really, really cool and you want to know more about it. And that's how I got to that place. So yes, I'm a Yoruba.
There we go.
And when I tell people today that I'm a Yoruba, I give them my Yoruba names. They're like, oh, you're from Nigeria. And I'm like, technically, I don't care. I don't mind being from Nigeria.
However,
there are Yoruba people everywhere in that region. So up to today, people are shocked. That's why I love your introduction. That was very clear that Yoruba is bigger than a country. It is bigger than colonization.
It is.
We are bigger people than anything.
Even in Brazil, did you? Even in Brazil.
In Jamaica, in Trinidad, everywhere.
And it really, Yoruba culture really is quite pervasive in past and current culture, be it art, be it creativity, be it music, be it whatever it is. Like it's really, and it's one of the things which, interestingly, when people think of Africans, and I will give especially the Yoruba their dues, is the pride in the culture. It's one of the especially having done this the civilizations, because I did actually AfriWorld has covered all of them, the Uyo, the Benin, Ife, like it, because it's just been so fascinating
think about the, you know, the bronze
which are finally coming back.
Thank God. But they have more that they need to send back, some of them in the British Museum, which I call the British Museum. They were stolen so brutally that they should be called the British Museum. We need to send it back home. And we don't really care how much they want it. We need to send it back.
Yes. But before we go any further, so actually this, why it's good that you said sort of like your roots, because, you know, AfriWetu rooted in our story, is because this also leads to, I wanted you to talk very briefly about your podcast and then your book.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. I will start saying that I'm much, much lazier than you in terms of a podcast, because I do a much shorter version of it. My podcast lasts less than 10 minutes. French and English, yes. And focus on revealing some sort of small bites of African history. I like to be sarcastic because it's part of my personality, I would say. So yeah, I do that. It's on all platforms and it's really small bites of different topics from African culture, but culture, literature, politics, economy, gastronomy, music, everything that is African. So yeah, that's what it is. And for the book, I think what I try to do in the book is also what you did here in this episode, is to try and find a version of our history that we can tell ourselves. So the book is called 50 African Pioneers. It's also a bilingual book. It's the same book written in French and in English, illustrated, and contains exactly 25 female and 25 male figures who can be considered as role models for Africans everywhere, for everyone actually in the world, who want to know more about who are the people who were the first people to achieve very interesting, original, different, high thing, fantastic stuff in our history. we never hear about those people because we are busy learning about all the Malcolm X and Dr. something from other places. We do have pioneers here, and we need to know them. We need to know them so that we can inspire our children and the young ones to believe in what we can do as Africans. So yeah, that's those are the two things. You can find the book on my website and also on Amazon. And I look forward to connecting with you once you have read it, so we can discuss. That's all the objective after all.
And we will share links as well to the book on all AfriWeta platforms, especially when this episode goes out, which, interestingly, before we go there, because we are in the spirit of being bilingual, would you like to explain to any of our French listeners what you just said about the book in French?
Bien sûr, bien sûr. Alors, bon, mes chers amis, les francophones du monde entier qui écoutent AfriWeta, AfriWeta, c'est le meilleur podcast d'histoire africaine, c'est clair et c'est net. Mais à côté d'AfriWeta, moi, je fais un podcast qui fait 10 minutes à peu près, qui est en français et en anglais, et qui parle d'histoire africaine, pas juste d'histoire politique, mais d'histoire de l'économie, de la musique, de la littérature, de la cuisine africaine, de tout ce qui est africain. Je trouve un angle assez, ludique et un peu sarcastique qui parle de tous ces sujets-là. Et donc, si vous avez envie d'écouter des bouts d'histoire par-ci, par-là d'Afrique, ben, le podcast s'appelle My African Clichés. Il est sur toutes les plateformes de podcast, de Spotify à Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, tout ce qu'il y a. Et le livre est un peu un dérivé du podcast. Il s'appelle 50 pionniers africains. Il s'appelle 50 pionniers africains, mais il y a 25 femmes et 25 hommes qui ont fait des choses extraordinaires, ont été les premiers à atteindre des sommets dans notre histoire à nous. Et l'histoire des pionniers du monde entier est connue, mais celle des pionniers africains est moins connue. Et mon but, c'était donc de populariser un peu cette figure-là qui pourrait en fait servir de rôle modèle. Rôle modèle, c'est pas un mot français. Qui pourrait servir de modèle à nos enfants les plus jeunes pour qu'ils puissent croire en eux-mêmes, qu'ils puissent croire en l'Afrique et qu'ils puissent, comme d'autres, viser et rêver de ce qu'ils peuvent faire le mieux. Et voilà, je parle de ça. Le livre, il est disponible sur Amazon et AfriWeta website va vous référencer tout ce qu'il y a comme lien pour le podcast et pour le livre. Et j'espère j'espère recevoir de vos feedbacks dès que vous l'aurez lu. Et puis voilà, merci beaucoup.
Yes, you did. Merci beaucoup. And then lastly, interestingly, the day that we are going to release this podcast, this particular episode, you're going to be doing something very exciting, which is also promoting your book, and you're going to be, God willing, in Mozambique, in Maputo. So we shall be sure to scream and shout about it. So that we can get you as much traction as possible. Thank you so much for coming on to
us. Yes, if you allow me to just mention the festival, it's yes. Called Ndigiri Tana. It's a festival in Maputo. We will talk about books, about African books, African writing, African history, African cultures. So October 16 to 2022. And if you happen to be in Maputo listening to AfriWeta, make sure you show up in the festival. And I will be listening to your episode on day one, as usually, when it comes out. And I will send you my feedback.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you in this episode.
You're very welcome. But before you go, please tell people how they can follow you as well, so that, you know, they can keep up with everything you're doing, African Clichés, the book. So where can they find you?
Yes, it's on Instagram, mostly on Instagram. I unfortunately don't have a Facebook page, but Instagram, my handle is My African Clichés, where I post a bit of everything about the book and about the podcast. And looking forward to connecting with you on Instagram.
Perfect. Thank you, thank you, thank you again. Always a pleasure. Always fun. Karibu tena.
Do you know how to say thank you in Yoruba, since we are talking about Yoruba people?
How do you say thank you in Yoruba?
You say Eshim Dada.
Eshim
Dada. You can say Adupe.
Adupe.
You can say Adupe if you want to be quick. Adupe is more like grace goes to you.
That's lovely. Adupe. Thank you. Because also to all my Afriwatu, especially from West Africa, I keep butchering your words. I'm very sorry. I apologize. So Adupe. I hope that sounds better.
Eshim Afriwatu. Long V to Afriwatu. Long life to Afriwatu.
Thank you so much. Thank you so
Keep
much.
Up the good work.
Thank you. And to everybody else, until next time, Mubarikiwe.
I don't lie. Oh, my bitch, I don't wear. Lying about you. A funny matter lying.